we began, as most of you know, a short series of messages entitled Final Destiny, where we're looking closer at heaven and hell. And we began with this idea that heaven is often not on our radar, even as Christians, not on our radar. And, you know, for so many reasons, many people, and even Christians, you know, they just think very little about their eternal future. And yet we saw how the Apostle Paul commanded us to set our hearts on things above. Amen? And to set our hearts on the promised future that you and I have as Christians. Heaven is our future. Amen? And Hebrews described God's people as aliens and strangers on the earth who spent their lives, Hebrews says, looking forward to a country that they can call their own, that they were looking for a better place, a heavenly homeland, if you will. Hebrews chapter 11 talks about how the saints of the Old Testament were looking for their heavenly home, looking for their heavenly place as they were journeying through life. And last week was a challenge to us, wasn't it? To begin to think more, just to begin to think more about heavenly things, to be more heavenly minded, and to realize that we as Christians, we were made for a person and we were made for a place. And Jesus is the person, amen? And heaven is the place. And we were made for that. We were created for relationship with Jesus, the person of Jesus. And we were created for an eternity in the place called heaven together with him. How many believe that? It's a good thing, right? Amen. So we want to pray this morning, and we're going to continue our closer look at heaven this morning. Heavenly Father, our minds are almost totally incapable of even fathoming the good things that are in store for us. Even our best imagination falls short. Our best imagination, God, it falls short of what it's actually going to be like when we are walking and living in heaven. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd open up our minds and our hearts and open up our longings and our desires and help us to see that these are things that are not to be doubted, not to be afraid of, not to be dreaded, but things to be anticipated and enjoyed and look forward to. And so, Lord, we need your help as we tackle a subject that is beyond our scope because we're not there. And we need your help in understanding our heavenly homeland. So help us today by your Spirit. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, let me just share an illustration to start with this morning. Suppose you lived in a homeless shelter in Miami. And you may see a map. There you go. Right? Suppose you lived in some homeless shelter in the city of Miami, and one day you inherit a beautiful house on a gorgeous hillside overlooking Santa Barbara, California, and you pack your bags because you're going, right? And on your flight to Santa Barbara, you have to change planes in Dallas, Texas. And then you board the plane in Dallas, Texas, to make it to your final destination of Santa Barbara. Now, when the Miami ticket agent asks you, "What's your destination?" would you say Dallas? No, you would not say Dallas. You would say Santa Barbara because that's your final destination. That's your ultimate destination. And if you mention Dallas at all in your flight schedule, you might say this. You might say, "I'm going to Santa Barbara by way of Dallas." All right? I'm going to Santa Barbara by way of Dallas. And now this is a great illustration. As we understand our final destination of heaven as brothers and sisters in Christ, as people, the people of God, as believers, followers of Jesus. Dallas is the present heaven, but it's a brief layover. And that's where we'll be until Christ's return. That's assuming that his return is delayed and we die before he comes back. But that's the present heaven, all right? The heaven we go to when we die is a temporary dwelling place. It's a stop along the way. It's a great place. It's a whole lot better than this place, all right? But it's a layover on the way to our final destination, which is the new heavens and the new earth. Now, before we talk about all that, the Bible's description of the new heaven and the new earth, I want to talk about this thing called the present heaven for just a moment. So if you have your Bible, turn to the Gospel of Luke chapter 16. Luke 16, okay? Luke chapter 16. Verse 19. These are the words of Jesus. Jesus is telling us what seems like a parable, but it doesn't really fall in the category of a parable. It may be, in all actuality, something that could happen or did happen. And so we want to read this account that Jesus shares with his disciples. There was a rich man, verse 19, who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. And at his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, who was covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. And even the dogs came and licked his sores. And the time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, where he was in torment, he looked up, and he saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. And so he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue because I'm in agony in this fire." But Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things, but now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you is a great chasm that has been set in place, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us." And he answered, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my family, for I have five brothers. And let him warn them so that they will not also come to this place of torment." And Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." And basically he's saying, they have the word of God. Let them listen to the word of God. "No, Father Abraham," he said, "but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." And he said to them, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." Now, Jesus spoke in these kinds of parables all the time. Get that later, all right? Jesus spoke in these kinds of stories in parables all the time. But this, as I mentioned to you before, this story doesn't fit all that well. Jesus was talking about something that happened, something that did happen, something that could very well happen with people's lives. And clearly, as we read this account of the Gospel of Luke, the beggar went to the present heaven. The beggar was in heaven. Amen? Where Abraham and Lazarus and all of the believers who had died are currently there in heaven. Abraham is there. Lazarus is now there. All right? And so there's a couple of things we need to see, I think, as we understand heaven. As we think about heaven, as we get our minds focused on heavenly things, several things that we can safely say from Jesus' words, and the first of them is this: Christians who die and go to heaven are going to have a temporary body. Now, people are all really kind of freaked out about that. What's it going to be like? What am I going to have? What am I going to look like? You know, am I this phantom? Can you see through me? You know, it's like, you know, we talked about last week. People have all these strange pictures of Casper the Friendly Ghost. All right. And so we're going to have some type of temporal body. 2 Corinthians 5 says this: for we know that when this earthly tent, right, this earthly body, this is what the scripture says, this earthly tent that we live in is taken down. It's a fancy way of saying when we die, right? When this earthly tent, our body is the tent, earthly tent, when that earthly tent is taken down, we will have a home in heaven, the Apostle Paul says, an eternal body made for us by God himself and not by human hands. We have a body of some kind. We will not live in some disembodied state. I don't know about you, but that's good news. Right? God created us to live and to dwell in a body. He created us to live our personhood, to be living in a body. And there's no reason to believe that that won't be in the case of the present heaven. We'll have a body. Now, obviously, the rich man had a body, didn't he? He had a body in hell as he asked for some water to cool his tongue. Now, you wouldn't need to ask anybody for some water if you didn't have a body, right? And so he asked, and not to mention that the rich man and Lazarus and Abraham could see and recognize one another across this uncrossable chasm. They could see one another. They could see form. They could see bodies. They could see the person, right? And so we can say this: if we die before Christ returns, we will be in heaven and we will have some temporary body and be enjoying heaven. Now, secondly, are you with me? Everybody with me? Because I have to move fast. So the second thing is this: we enter heaven without a break of consciousness. And we can see this from Jesus' words in Luke 16. I guess we should say this. I should back up. Every person enters an eternity without a break of consciousness. Okay? It's just a matter of location, all right, of your eternity. Every person, all right, there's no break. You will enter eternity without this break of consciousness. And so, I think really we need to be clear about this, I think, because this is what Christians believe all throughout the history of the church. Not everyone who dies goes to heaven. All right? Now, I wish it wasn't that. I wish it wasn't so. But the scriptures are clear. It's a common belief held by many. It's even a common belief even among Christians. But that's not what the Bible teaches. Jesus said himself in John chapter 6, for my heavenly Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him will have eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day. Yeah? And so those who believe that Jesus Christ is God, those who believe that he was sent to the world for the express purpose of for dying for the sin of the world, those who believe that he alone made forgiveness of sin and eternal life available, he made it happen for us, right? Those who believe that, those are the people who get in. Those are the people who enter heaven. It's the person who confesses sin. It's the person who confesses Jesus as their Savior, who's made a conscious decision to walk the path of Christ that's laid out in the Gospels. And so, if you're a Christian, which I'm hoping you're raising both hands on that one. If you're a Christian, if you repented, if you confessed your sin, if you asked Jesus to be your Savior, if you follow him, made a commitment, conscious commitment to follow him, heaven awaits you. Are you hearing me? Heaven awaits you. on the other side of death, heaven awaits you, you and me. So there should have been a shout there. But let me get back to heaven, what it will be like for the person immediately upon death. From Jesus' account in Luke that we read, assuming that your destination is that, in heaven your personhood stays intact. You don't become somebody else. You are who you are. Okay? You are Ned. Ned, you'll always be Ned. All right? That's true. So, Ned, Nelda, Jeff, Frank, you are who you are. Okay? And not only that, but as Christians, our minds, our memories will be clearer than ever before in heaven. The rich man in Hades knew he had five brothers. So it is with Christ followers in heaven. Death does not change what we know. You with me? We will go with the same information we have stored in our minds today. You will remember in heaven, but like you remembered on earth, but only you'll remember more. Because you forget a lot, don't you? That's, at least that's what my wife tells me. Or your wife tells you. Or vice versa. To be fair. We'll remember. We'll have a clear mind and be able to remember, and our memories will be clear. And not only that, but we'll meet a host of people. Some will be known to us. That's what we see in Luke 16. Some will be known to us. Some known only through the pages of history. Others nameless, but they will be equally honored. Okay? The rich man could not have known Abraham. I mean, look at the history. Abraham, long since dead, right? The rich man could not have known Abraham, but he knew exactly who he was as he viewed him from the other side of this great divide. He knew who Abraham was. Now, how did he know? He just knew. And the beggar who in heaven was introduced to Abraham, he was introduced maybe to David, to Moses, possibly Elijah, all the disciples. Isn't it going to be amazing to be introduced to Moses? Oh, man. Elijah, Peter, Paul, Barnabas, James, John, King David. Oh, my gosh. It's going to be unbelievable. And, you know, so I say that because there's a common question. It's always asked, will we know our loved ones in heaven? Right? The answer is yes. We will know our believing family members in heaven. And, by the way, I'm going to skip ahead. Don't you think that part of the torment of hell is viewing what others in heaven are enjoying for eternity and you not being able to partake of that yourself? That's part of the torment. You will never be able to partake in hell of the joys of heaven. And see, and knowing that and seeing that. So that it's like this constant reminder of what you don't have, accompanied by eternal regret. Now, let's go further. In heaven, a personal love continues. The rich man loved his family so much that he was willing to never see them again if they didn't join him in this place of torment. And I like what Randy Alcorn says. Widows, widowers will continue to love one another, but with a purified love. Our love for family in heaven will be intensified. Jesus said, but be clear, Jesus said there'll be no marriage in heaven. But he didn't say heaven would be genderless, did he? No. And so personal love continues in the present heaven. Now, we want to pause and talk because this whole passage in Luke is, let's be honest, it's kind of weird. right? You find it strange? It's kind of weird. But I think we just need to pause and talk about what the Bible says about communicating with those who are dead. Deuteronomy chapter 18 says, the Lord says that those who consult the dead are detestable in his sight. That's pretty strong words. Those who consult with the dead are detestable in God's sight. So here's what we can say. We might pray to get a message to Grandpa. Pray to Jesus to get a message to Grandpa. But we don't talk to Grandpa to get a message to Jesus. You follow me? We might pray to Jesus to get a message to Grandma. We're not talking to Grandma to get a message to Jesus. All right? And not only that, but those loved ones in heaven are not pulling strings for us. There are no buttons being pushed to bring us favor. Our help comes from the Lord. Here's what I do know. Hebrews says, those saints, those who have gone on to be with the Lord in heaven, they're cheering us on. Hebrews says they're spectators. They're cheering us on. I imagine stands. I don't know if you, well, not all of you are Irish fans. So anyway, the Eagle Stadium is pretty big, you know. I love that Eagle Stadium is huge. All right? I imagine spectators. I imagine those in heaven, all right, they're cheering us on and they're looking on. And as we're on the playing field of life, right, we're the ones on the playing field and they're cheering us on to make good choices and to keep on in our faith. That's what they're doing. They're saying, you've got to keep on in your faith, right? Make good choices. And they're cheering, they're clapping, you know. Maybe they're like, oh, too. You know, like, well, bad move, you know, bad pass, you know. So you want to rethink that. Anyways, but anyway, so I think we need to pause and kind of just tuck that in your pocket. In heaven, all right, personal feelings continue. It makes sense, doesn't it? Our personal feelings will continue on into eternity in heaven with Christ. Think of what brings you the greatest joy in this life. Take about 5 seconds and think about what brings you the greatest joy in this life. Think about that. Now, I want you to think about that thing that brings you joy. I want you to multiply that by 100 times, and you're going to just get a glimpse of the euphoria in heaven that awaits you. All right? Often people, that, you know, we talk about the good old days, right? We're always talking about, you know, good things that happened in our past, the good old days, right? And the days that we're the fondest of, the days of our lives that we think are the best, all right? Those days behind us, and we think, you know, you remember when we did that, you know, and they were like, oh, you know, wasn't that great? You know what I'm talking about? You know, let me just say this. If we know Jesus, the best is not behind us. The best is yet to come. The best is not behind us. The best is yet to come. Amen? Now, we want to finish talking about something that may be completely new to some of you. This phrase in the Bible is called the new heavens and the new earth. Let me give you another illustration. We got that up there? Yeah. Let me give you another illustration that Randy Alcorn gives that provides us a good description, all right, of what the Bible talks about. Imagine you're leaving your homeless shelter in Miami, and you fly to Dallas, and then you get on a plane, and you turn right around, and you arrive back home to a completely new, renovated, new Miami. Okay? And in this new Miami, you'll no longer live in a homeless shelter. But you are now living in a new home that's a radically improved version of your old home in a city that's completely renovated, pollution-free, crime-free, sin-free. All right? That's what the Bible promises us. That's the direction that things are heading. That's the ultimate redemptive plan of God. Resurrected people living in resurrected bodies, together with one another, with the resurrected Christ, living on this new earth for all eternity, and God Himself dwelling and living among us. Now, I'm leaving a lot out about last days, return of Christ, Antichrist, millennial reign, all that. I'm leaving a lot of things out. There's so much we can't cover today, but you need to know that this is the finale. Isaiah, the prophet, said this in Isaiah 65, "Behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create. For I will create Jerusalem to be a delight and its people a joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem, take delight in my people, and the sound of weeping and of crying will be heard in it no more." Prophets, future prophesying about this new heaven and new earth. And then Peter, the Apostle Peter, says in his second letter, he says, "But in keeping with this promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells." Amen? Now, turn to Revelation chapter 21. We're going to finish up. Chapter 21. I want to share just a few passages of Scripture with you. Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. Everybody there? "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and He will dwell with them, and they will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God, and He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.'" Verse 22, "I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God and Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp, and the nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and the honor of the nations will be brought into it, and nothing impure will never ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life." Verse chapter 22, "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Down the middle of the great street of the city, on each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. And no longer will there be any curse. And the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and His servants will serve Him. And they will see His face. And His name will be on their foreheads. And there will be no more night. And they'll not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever." Amen? So, that's where we're headed. After the return of Christ, after the resurrection of believers, both living and dead, after you and I, as Christians, are reunited with our resurrected, incorruptible bodies, a new eternal heaven and a new eternal earth are formed. And there we will live in the presence of God and with His resurrected Son forever and ever. Amen. Now, our typical view of heaven is we go up to be with God, don't we? But the final pages of heaven of the Bible have us and God coming down to this renewed earth where we will live together forever. Now, I want to talk about a few things about this new earth and new heaven, what it'll be like. In the new heaven and in the new earth, we'll never grow old, we'll never be weak, we'll never be sick. Sign me up. The Bible says death shall be no more, no mourning, no crying, no pain. We'll drink from the fountain of life without cost. There'll no longer be anything that will cause you and I grief, nothing to be distraught over, nothing that will ever bring sadness, nothing. Revelation 21 says, when God brings heaven down to earth, He'll wipe every tear from their eyes. Tears of sadness will stop. Heaven will be deeply appreciated by those who have ravaged bodies and minds, the sick and the elderly. They'll be deeply appreciative because there's going to be no pains, no stiffness, no colds, no flu, no aches, no pains, no diabetes, no heart disease, no menopause. Be an equal opportunity, you know. No cancer. It's a place of great beauty. It's a place of joy. It's a place where art and music and technology and culture will flourish and bring glory to God. Heaven will be this endless supply of fresh water, delicious food. That's a good thing because we all like to eat, you know. And you know. In this city that God describes, called the New Jerusalem, there'll be no crime, no litter, no smog, no sirens, no slums, no hospitals, no cemeteries, no sin, no evil, no abuse, no rape, murder, no drugs, no drunkenness, no bombs, no guns, no terrorism. Thinking about heavenly things. In Revelation, we're told that there's a choir of angels numbering 10,000 times 10,000. That's 100 million. Now, I know some of you, music's not your thing, right? You don't really, that really doesn't really do anything for you, music. But you have to admit, a choir of 100 million angels singing a song has to be powerful. I don't imagine, we won't say, well, that's pretty good. I don't think, you know, I've heard better. Okay, so there'll be no need for a temple, no church buildings. We'll worship Christ with no distraction. We'll be lost in worship. We'll be overcome by God's magnificence. And just the privilege of being in His presence will elicit worship in our hearts all the time. Now, Revelation 7 says that people of every tribe and nation and language will worship the Lamb together. Revelation 21 says that the nations will walk by the Lamb's light, that is Jesus. Now, there's going to be people of every color walking down the streets of the heavenly city. Do you realize what this means? God is not prejudiced. And if you have any problems or if you have any hang-ups with people of different nationalities or people of different ethnicities, you may as well confess your sin before God right now and get over it. And repent of your contempt for others. Do you know what contempt means? Contempt means the feeling or the attitude of regarding someone or something as inferior, base, or worthless. That's what contempt is. And often, we would never admit it, but we hold contempt with people who are different than we are. And if you look upon people of different races with this type of feeling, then you don't possess God's heart for people. God has a multi-ethnic heart. And his people should too. And so we look at things in life through a white lens, and you might say that we might say that we don't, but it's second nature to us. But I think we need to be reminded of something very important. God is not white. Jesus is not white. He's not white. So I say it's best to get on board now, because people aren't all going to have resurrected white bodies. And we laugh. But we have these tinges of contempt in our hearts for people that are different than we are. In heaven, we're told that his servants will serve him. Revelation 22 says, no longer will there be any curses. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. That means we'll be active in heaven, this heaven. Since to serve means to work. To serve means to expend effort. To serve means to do something. And service, you know, involves responsibilities and duties and planning and creativity. And that doesn't stop. We're not on a cloud floating. And some of you who really like to build and like to create and like to do things, that ought to be like, wow, I can look forward to that, right? So here's the difference, though. When Adam and Eve fell in the sin of the Garden of Eden, they brought a curse on the ground, right? The Bible says they brought a curse on the ground. And so then work for most people, even right now to this day, work for most people is not considered a blessing. It's a curse. Work can be exhausting, unfulfilling, unproductive, meaningless, boring, something we dread, right? You know, Monday morning, tomorrow morning, it's coming. Not everybody has that attitude, but you know. But here's the thing. Heaven will offer us work. Heaven will offer us activity that would be productive and refreshing. And I like that, right? Because you'll feel like, I really did something, right? And now we do something, you know, and it's like, man, it was less than what we hoped, right? And so we have all this to look forward to in heaven, the new heavens and the new earth. But I want to finish with this, because we got a lot more in the coming weeks. More important than the physical beauty of the new heaven and the new earth, more important than the fellowship that we will enjoy with God's people from all nations, more important than the freedom that we'll have from pain and sorrow and suffering, more important than serving Jesus for all eternity, more important than all of that is the fellowship that we will have with Jesus himself. The scripture says, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with man, and he will live with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. In the heavenly city, we will live in this atmosphere of his presence and the glory of God continually. Not from a distance, not a shadow, not a glimpse. We will live for eternity with God, and he with us. And with descriptions like that, Why would anyone not want to be assured that they will go there? Why would anyone not want to be assured that they will go there? Let me close with this. Jesus was talking to his disciples one day, and he told them these words. I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my words, believes in me, in him who sent me, has eternal life and will not be condemned, for he has crossed over from death to life. Do you know that you have crossed over? I hope you know. I hope that you've made that conscious and personal decision to cross over from death to life, to believe in him. This is the beauty of the good news that Jesus brought to us. We can have the assurance of heaven right now. We can have the assurance of heaven right now. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your scriptures. Make things clear to us. Provide for us beautiful descriptions of what awaits us as followers of Jesus. It stirs us to be more heavenly minded. And to have in our hearts a sense of anticipation of what lies ahead for us. All of this life is just a vapor. It's a short time, but there's an eternity that waits and lies ahead of us. Thank you for stirring our hearts, God, for heaven. And there is so much that's not accounted for, but there's enough to provide us great hope and great joy and great anticipation and longing and desire. And that's what we want. If you want that, just raise your hand. I want that desire. Just put it back down. Yeah, I want more of that desire. So, Father, we just come to you and we thank you for your unbelievable plan and your incredible mind that you would create this for your people, but even more than that, that you want to dwell and live with us. Love us that much. So God, we just say thank you. Thank you for that love that you have for us. So continue to stir our hearts, Lord. Give us the assurance that we need. In fact, I'll just invite some of the prayer team to even come up to the front. Some of you, if you not really have that full assurance of heaven, let's take care of that today. Let's make sure that you get that full assurance of heaven. If you're not really certain and unclear, let's be clear today. Get some prayer with some people our prayer people up front. But we're grateful, God, for the good news of what lies ahead for us. The good news of heaven. The good news of God of everything being redeemed and reconciled, renewed in your power. And we say yes and amen to all of it. Yes and amen to all of it, Lord. We pray this in Christ's name. The eternal Son of God who sits at the right hand of the Father, who reigns in glory, who's conquered death, who's defeated death, and who's returning again for his people to gather them, to take them where he is, together that we might be with him. And so, Lord, I thank you in Jesus' name. Wonderful, glorious name. Amen. Amen. Those of you that really want that assurance settled, I just invite you to come. But be blessed. Think about those future things that lie ahead for you. Amen. Some of your prayer team, just come up front.